Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
I'm David Westerland. I'm a consultant based in Bellingham, and I help organizations build their collaborative capacity. So I've been at Holden. The first time I came with my daughter, she was six, and I believe this is my ninth time here, my second year teaching. So this week, I am teaching on the topic of applied improvisation. So basically, the application of improv beyond the theater. So there are people out there who do improv with refugees, improv with emergency responders, improv for conflict resolution, improv with oncology nurses. It's the more I get into it, the more I'm discovering how improv is used in so many different realms. Because really what fuels and enables great improv are the very same things we need to build what I call the relational infrastructure of our organizations, churches, communities, families, things like cultivating presence and empathy, supporting each other, and being agile in the moment. And we think about that one even, being agile in the moment. If I'm doing a word-at-a-time story with you, Jonah, and I'm thinking you say lost, and I say your, and I think you're going to say wallet, but you say dog. If I'm holding onto wallet with a tight fist, I want you to say this, and you're holding onto your idea, it doesn't work. It breaks down. But if I'm thinking something, but I'm holding it with an open hand, so when you say something different, I'm ready for that. I have a posture of readiness. So it's really about loosening our grip on control, which can be a difficult thing. And yet, when we experience it in the context of play, and we see that we actually just built something together that's greater than if we would have both controlled, it builds that visceral experience of, oh, maybe I don't need control in this other situation in my work or my life. And in a sense, what I hear there too is a sense of openness. Yeah, so I might have a plan for something, but if I can come in with a posture of, whether it's meditation or with another person, there will likely be something offered. In improv, we talk about everything as an offer. I can either accept or block the offer. So if we were in a scene and you said, hey, doc, I'm here for my 2 o'clock appointment. And if I said, I'm not a doctor, I'm just standing here at this bus stop. That's me blocking your idea, basically saying, I don't like your idea. I'm starting over. And then if you said, no, we're not at a bus stop, then it just breaks down. And when I work with organizations, people resonate with that. They'll say, oh, yeah, that happens in our board meetings all the time. There's just a shutting down of ideas versus, and we experience this in workshops I lead, these basic games where we experience the yes and, which is this core idea of improv. If we're playing a game called going on a picnic, first round, we just say no to everything. So you say, hey, let's bring hot dogs. Nah. And then I say, well, let's bring broccoli. And you just say no. And so I have groups do that. And then the second round is you're just indifferent. So what's something that you could bring? Go ahead and offer something.
Kielbasa sausages?
No, you can if you want to, but I'm not really into that. But go ahead, you know. So then I would offer something back, and you would have this indifferent response. So I debrief those two rounds and say, what's that like? Well, it just felt, at least the first round was clear. The second round just felt like, ah, you weren't even decisive, right? And the third round, we say an enthusiastic yes back and forth. So you might, what could you offer?
Strawberry ice cream.
Yes, I love strawberry ice cream. We can bring whipped cream.
I'll bring cherries on top.
Yes, I love cherries. And we can bring that pitter I got from my grandma.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah, I might even make a pie now.
Yes, let's do a pie. And so what people find when you say yes back and forth, it actually goes somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's energizing. Part of the argument and efficacy of doing improv, even the simple games, is you come to have this embodied, visceral experience of putting yourself out there and being supported, because one of the base tenets of improv is support your partner. So if we're all supporting each other and we have that felt experience, the hope is to translate that to our work world or our church world or organization, to say, okay, how can we do this in our world, and what happens when we block each other? Part of the discipline there too is to offer something, even if it's not, you don't think it's a great idea. Because part of the work in improv is silencing the inner critic. So people often think, well, I'm not creative. But really, I think what's happening a lot of the times is we tell ourselves, oh, that's a bad idea, or that's no good. And those could be voices from the past or whatever. And maybe the idea isn't great, but because I put out something out there, then you can build on it. And then someone else builds on it, and who knows what can happen. You're creating that neural pathway ahead of time and priming yourself.
Right.
If this kind of situations happen, here's what I can do. And it's not exactly, here's the script I say. Mm-hmm. But I would say, one, it's a posture of, I want to move towards this. How can I, so this idea of yes and, I was telling someone who's cutting my hair what she was asking about the work that I do. And I love talking about the work that I do, so I don't know if she was ready for it. But I said, say you cut or color someone's hair and they don't like it. You don't have to agree with them. The invitation is to accept that offer. So even internally, if you're saying in your mind, yes, you don't like it, that's true. And what can we do about it? Because I think a lot of suffering comes from not wanting or allowing the other person to think or feel the way they do. So even when we think about social justice kinds of things and someone even being racist or some situation, I think at times we're wishing they weren't like that. And I think a way forward is to say, yes, this person feels that way. And how can I engage with them? And there's reasons why. I mean, we can yes and in lots of directions. But accepting, like, yes, trauma exists. And what are we going to do about it? Because the alternative is to sort of pretend sometimes that things don't exist, or that I have to engage knowing how to solve it all. Part of the discipline that can be learned through improv too is facing uncertainty without feeling paralyzed. Because if we're doing a word at a time story, neither of us knows where it's going to go. But the more adept we can get at that, the more adept we can get at facing uncertainty in life, really. So my three sessions this week relate to, when I look at society, I'm thinking about how we're losing our ability to be present with each other. I think that's in large part due to our addiction to devices. That's one piece of it. There's also increasing despair. And thirdly, a loss of social cohesion at small and large levels. So we're less resilient when difficulties and conflicts, disasters occur. So my three sessions are a response to that. So how does improv reform us to be people who are present? It's the first session. How does improv reform us to be people who discover joy as opposed to despair? And how does improv reform us to be people who build resilience? I was at a session this morning on systems, complex adaptive systems. Steve and Shirley talking about their work in emergency management and just the rise in the number of disasters that have happened over the last few decades, and that will continue. One event can happen in a certain area, and if the community is, there's a cohesiveness, they mentioned Joplin, Missouri, they responded with more alacrity, I guess would be a word for it. And so when FEMA came in, they're like, oh, you guys got it. And they didn't need many FEMA resources. Whereas other places, if there's not a social cohesion, it can be more of a disaster that happens. So part of our work, I think, in the church is how do we be cohesive and vulnerable and support each other so that we can be that in our communities as well. The sessions are to how do we be present, discover joy, and build resilience as a response to the lack of presence, despair, and lack. And so another thing too, like, yes, I want people to learn about improv and, more importantly, experience improv. So I feel like some of the best learning happens when we're engaged in it. And so all my sessions are interactive. We're playing these improv games. And one of the things that gives me the most joy is seeing people at the beginning admit, like, I'm a little scared. I'm not a theater person. I tell them I'm not a theater person either. And then they start engaging in it and come out of their shell. And by the end of the hour and a half, they're like, this was great. This was so good. So that gives me a lot of joy to see that happen. Basic level, I think in order to have unity of love, which is community, we need to be present with each other. That really nothing would happen if there's no level of presence. There's no trust without presence. And so seeing that as a skill we can cultivate, and even joy I'm discovering as a fuel. And I think because of all the difficulties happening in our world, we often feel like, well, how can we be joyful? And yet I feel like it's important for us to feel joy in even small ways, and then that can become fuel for us to face the difficulties. And then even resilience, that in order to be of service in the world and have that unity of love, when we're resilient, it's about being cohesive, which is about unity, I guess. About 5 years ago, discovered Ignatian prayer, Ignatian spirituality. One of the aspects of Ignatian spirituality is this idea of entering the story, not just reading a text and analyzing it with our sort of logical mind, breaking it apart, but rather entering it. So say we take the story of the road to Emmaus. We picture ourselves as ourselves or as one of the disciples maybe on the road to Emmaus. And we start picturing and using all our five senses. Wonder what it smelled like or felt like. What was the temperature like? If they were filled with fear in a story, do we feel that? The fun thing about cultivating improv in your life is I've found that when I do these Ignatian prayer exercises, I'm more apt to just say yes with what I'm experiencing. And I feel like the Holy Spirit offers certain things. They're offers that I can accept and have this fresh experience of a passage. And one time I used to be a jail chaplain, and I remember doing this entering the story with the storm at sea, that gospel story. And there was 10 guys in the circle, and I had two of them each for the five different senses. And so afterwards, I asked them what they experienced. And one of them was talking about tasting the salt from the sea. Another one who had feeling sense said, I felt the urine coming down my leg because I was so scared. So it just made the story come alive. And that's part of the connection. And I would say, I'm believing more and more that God improvises with us. That it's not God just being the, I don't know if that's called deist, like turning the clock and letting it go. And I also don't believe that there is no God. I feel like there's this participative nature of the unfolding of life. And so even thinking of that in the Trinity, yeah, it's an interesting thing to ponder. How might God be improvising, saying, all right, here's what we have, here's the offer. What do we do now? So there's a book by Sam Wells called Improvisation, the Drama of Christian Ethics. And he starts it by saying, improv in the theater is where actors seek to develop trust in themselves and one another to conduct unscripted dramas without fear. And he says his book is a study of how the church can become a community of trust to faithfully encounter the unknown of the future without fear.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.